Good morning. Everybody's asleep. Good morning. Good morning. All right, everybody's awake now. That's good. That's good. I appreciate the opportunity to bring a message to you this morning. It was kind of a short notice deal, so we'll do the best we can. You know, it was good to see Justin and Sarah back, but I think Justin, he's still a little fatigued and tired, not feeling well, so he asked me to be on standby yesterday evening, so here I am. I'm on standby, and we're here. But like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. If you're here in the auditorium, we're glad to have you. Our regulars, our visitors we have, we're especially glad to have you and invite you to come back and be with us whenever you can. If you're a visitor, we ask that you fill out one of our visitors' cards where we can have track of your attendance and keep in touch as the days go by of your attendance with us. And also, we don't want to forget those that are joining us on our radio broadcast. We also invite you to come be with us in person. Like will be mentioned, I'm sure, we have worship here on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11. We have class at 10 in between. We have classes for all ages. Then we meet again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., and we just hope you can make plans to attend anytime that you can. So this morning, I was hoping Justin might stick around because here's the reason why, which I know he's not feeling well, but I'm going to kind of steal his thunder a little bit. You know, Justin is kind of unique. You know, he likes to tell his jokes, and I think they're good. I enjoy them. I get a good kick out of them, you know. And I didn't ask him before. And I know that's his thing or whatever. That's Justin's deal. But I'm going to steal his thunder a little bit, and here's why. And I actually sent him this joke that I'm going to tell you for that fact. I said, here's your one. He said, I like it. I'll add it to the list. Well, too bad. I got to it first. Because I'll be honest, I was out on my mail route skimming on my Breakthrough Instagram, and it popped up and kind of gave me a little chuckle. And I thought, boy, if I could ever get up there and preach a sermon, I'm going to use that and steal his thunder. So guess what? I'm going to do it. But we'll see how it works out, see if I can remember. So maybe he won't mind too much. But there was this man, he works up in New York at a big firm, big law firm, law office. Every year they have one day, and you probably are familiar with this, you can bring your kids to work. You know, bring your kids to work day. You know, now a lot of kids nowadays, they probably like, no thanks. I'm good. I'll pass. But he had a little girl. She got up that morning. She was excited. She was ready to go. They got to the office, started walking around, looking around. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, all these employees are around and gathering around. All of a sudden, this little girl out of nowhere just starts just hysterical, crying, screaming. Nobody had no idea what was going on with her. So all his employees gathered around. The man, you know, bent down, looked at her. Here she's crying. They finally got her to stop. Now, mind you, all his employees gathered around. What's the matter with this little girl? She looks up, and you know how kids are, they're honest. She looks up, quits crying. She said, Dad, she said, where's all those clowns you said you worked with? All right, so I tried. So I hope Justin's proud. I hope he hears this. So, yeah. Anyway, so I'll have to tell him that too bad I got the joke before he did. So, but anyways, we are glad to have you and glad that you're here. But, you know, this morning, the lesson kind of comes from everything that's going on in the world. And I know you're probably thinking, how can a lesson go on? You know, there's a lot of strife, a lot of turmoil, a lot of things going on, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate what's going on, and I know Alan, and I appreciate that. I know Alan's mentioned it. A lot of people's mentioned it in their prayers. You know, like we were talking to the teenage kids downstairs, you know, we just hope and pray that cooler heads will prevail. You know, we can pray for that, and we hope for that, but that's kind of where this lesson comes from this today that I'd like to bring you is, you know, we were on the way home last night, and I don't like watching the news or listening to it, but we were kind of listening. I really don't watch it or listen to it, but we were watching or listening to Fox News on the way home, and, you know, they were kind of talking about Ukraine's president and just, you know, how, you know, he's had offers to, you know, him and his family to be brought to safer places, to get out of there, but, you know, I thought it was pretty brave of him that he wants to stay there. You know, he wants to stay there and fight for his country. You know, and I kind of thought, you know, that takes a pretty strong, heroic person to do that. When, all honesty, if they ever get to him, he probably knows his fate. But he chooses to stay and fight for his country and the things that he believes in. And that's kind of where this lesson comes from. It'll be a short lesson and to the point this morning. So if you're visiting with us today or anything, you might luck out. We might get out of here before 12 o'clock. So, but I was kind of thinking the strength that has, and there's actually a book in the end of our Bible, Jude. That's where our lesson is going to come from, is the book of Jude. And I heard that last night on the radio, and it just kind of caught me with the strength and the bravery and the how he has to stand up and contend for his country and be there for them in their time of need and not run off and leave and all those things. And it kind of reminded me of Jude and what's penned in this book and how it encourages people to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith, to stand up for what they believe in. And that's what brought me to this message that I want to bring you this morning. Like I said, I know it's hard to believe that a lesson from God's word can come from such a tragic situation, but you know, I have to get creative in finding lessons and things that we talk about. So that's where I got it from. But that's what I love about Jude. You know, like some of the other books, you know, they're penned specifically to a certain group of people. You know, the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, you know. But if you look and simply how this starts in Jude, and most of our study will come from this book. We'll stay here and read the whole thing together. And I got a few other verses that we'll kind of examine to go along with our study this morning. But I love how it starts. If you want to read along with me, we'll just start in the first verse. It says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus. And while I love that, you know, it's not pinned to a certain group of people. It's just to us. That's what I think about this book. It's pinned to us because we are, that's who we are. We are sanctified by God and the Father. We are preserved. That's us. That's who he's writing to right now. That we are the people that he's penning this to. And that's why I want to talk with you about it this morning. And if we look in verse 2, continuing on kind of to our first point, it says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And I don't know about you, but early in this verse, there's so many lessons that we can learn to apply to our lives. Those three characteristics that were just listed right there, it would do good for all of us to implement those into our lives. Just those three words, those three characteristics, it would do us well, myself included, to implement those three things. Mercy, peace, and love. And I believe if we could just really put those into our lives and just show those in our lives every day, that we would be a lot better people than we have in the past. And if you look, you know, mercy. You know, if we talk about mercy, and there's a few definitions that I got talking about mercy. You know, it's like mercy is defined as a compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it's within one's power to punish. You know, if you think about mercy, we should be thankful for God's mercy, because like that definition says, he's within his right to exact punishment on us because we are sinners. You know, but he thought of us enough to have that mercy on us to send his son. Send his son to this earth to die for us. That we don't have to answer for those things if we just do what he says. So that mercy we should be very thankful for. And we should show mercy upon our fellow man. Forgive those around about us. Just like God and Jesus has forgiven us. You know, we all look for that peace just like over there with everything that's going on. You know, you look for that peace in your life. You know, peace sometimes is defined as tranquility. A calm. You know, that's what we all look for in our lives, just a moment of peace. You know, if you go by the mercy, when we talk about mercy, go back to James chapter 2. If you want to flip over there, you can. If you'd like, just follow along with my reading. It's okay, too, if you have your Bible. In James chapter 2, going back talking about mercy, and we kind of defined it and what it means to us, and we should be thankful for it. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, the scripture reads, it says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So although we're going to have that great judgment one of these days, the mercy that God has for us will triumph over that. You know, we don't have to enter into that great judgment in a relationship with our God that we ought not to be in, because he has mercy on us. He has mercy on us. He loves us. He sent his son to die for us. We don't have to answer for those things. And I'm thankful for that mercy. Very thankful, and we should be too. Everybody should be. You know, you talk about peace and the calm and the tranquility that we want in our lives. You know, look at John chapter 16 that talks about that. John chapter 16, verses 33, it says, these things I have written and have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So where are you going to find that true peace at? You know, I love when Dwayne prays for that relationship that we need to have. He mentions that a lot in his prayers. If you want to be honest, I believe that's the only place that we can find true peace. To have that relationship, to talk to God daily, to when we have tribulations and troubles, like I talked about Wednesday, if you were here in our midweek Bible study, when we have things go on, that's where you find that peace, is going to God, going to Jesus, like Dwayne prays for. Have that relationship. You know, talking about having that relationship, you know, it kind of struck me something that I heard on the radio this morning before we pulled in the parking lot. We were listening to the news again. I don't know why, but we were listening to Fox News again. But the broadcaster, whoever, he right at the end of what he was talking about, he said, "Be a good day to go to church today." I'm like, why isn't every day not a good day to go to church? Amanda said, well, it's good they were mentioning that. No, I agree it's good that they're mentioning it because you never hear that stuff. But why does it take something bad happening to mention, hey, it'd be a good day to go to church today? And then the lady said, well, yeah, say a prayer today too. And I was talking to the kids down in the teenage class, talking about this peace that we can find, like Dwayne prays for, with that relationship here and there. Every once in a while, that's not that relationship you need. When the doors are open, be here. Why does it take something bad happen for us to all of a sudden? And I know that's how the world thinks. A lot of people think like that. Like's been mentioned, when 9/11 happened, you know, I don't remember. I wasn't attending here, but I could assume it was probably full in here, or a lot of churches. Why does it take something bad to happen for everybody to all of a sudden, well, let's go to church. Let's say a prayer. You know, I was thinking, if we have the mindset, if we live like we're supposed to and obey God's commands like we're supposed to, we're in church when we're supposed to be, we have that relationship like Dwayne prays for, when these times of trouble come about, when these times of unrest come about, when these times that are just hard come about, they ain't going to be that hard to deal with. Because why? Because we have that relationship, we have that peace in knowing that there is more than what we see. Am I right? So don't, just like those broadcasters said, and I debated to bring this up or not, but it just irked me. You know, you hear things that just kind of get your blood boiling. So if we have that mindset, if we have that relationship, we're here when the doors are open. When these troubling times comes, we don't have to worry about them. Because we understand and we know, because of the relationship that we have, a strong relationship, that those troubling times may not seem so bad. Because of what I said. Because we know if we're living like we should, there's more than what we see. And we should all be thankful for that. So that's where you can find that peace, that mercy. We're thankful for that mercy. The peace that we can find in that relationship with our Lord if we've obeyed the gospel and done what He's asked. And also, like the scripture says, we need to show love. Because God is love. You know, we read about that love in 1 Peter chapter 4. Talking about the last characteristic that it will do us good to apply to our lives. Mercy, peace, love. But the greatest of these is love. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And we should be thankful for that. Because that love that God had for us to send His Son covers a multitude of my sins. And I'm thankful for that. That we don't have to answer for that one day. If like I said, you know, and if I need to stop the sermon right now, I will. If you think you need to be baptized, you get up right now and we'll stop. We'll stop. We'll stop right now. So if you think you need to, you can come forward. Because that love that God had for us will cover those sins. If you just obey His will and do what He says. So those three characteristics I want to hit on before we get into the rest of our study. So let's try to put that in our mind. Mercy, peace, love. Because those are characteristics that God has toward us. And if we're supposed to let God and Jesus shine through our lives, let's work on putting those into our lives. Mercy, peace, and love into our lives. You know, we also see in verse 3 and 4, if you want to read along back in the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4, they're encouraged to contend for the faith. And this is where my lesson kind of came from with everything that's going on in the world. It says in verse 3, "Beloved, While I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have to ask ourselves, and myself included, and we got a verse that we'll look at here in just a second. But, I asked myself when I was reading this, thinking about that president and how the bravery he's showing to stand up for his people. He's there for them. He's right on the front lines. I was thinking to myself, and this is me, if something came out and put this under attack, say, in this church, in this county, would I be there to stand up for it? Would I do like this book says? Would I be there to stand up and contend it, to fight for it, to be there for it? Would I be that person? I had to ask myself that. Or would I, we got a preacher over here, a deacon over there, an elder over there. Would I be willing to stand up for this right here? Like Jude encourages us to stand up against those false teachers, against those things that's tried to move in to pervert the gospel. Will I be willing to stand up for it? Will I be willing to contend for the faith that I have? Because, I hope we all will be able to stand up for the faith that we have. Because I heard somebody say something on a podcast I listened to. If you don't stand up for that faith that you have, I don't know what you'll stand up for, because this is what he said. He said, one day, the faith that we have is going to be a reality. I thought that was pretty cool. One day, the faith that we have in this is going to be reality one day. So why not stand up for it? Why won't you stand up for it after all that Jesus has done for us? And we look along that point and look in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So, I believe Satan's at work in all this. The wickedness and the evil that goes on, I believe he's at work. So we have to stand up. We have to hold strong to the faith that we have in this word. And it's like I said, find that peace that you can find in a relationship with our Lord. That way when these troubling times come, we don't have to worry about it, because we know that heaven's waiting on us. That heaven's waiting on us, and that can be our home if we just do what he says. If we continue to read on, we talked about contending for our faith against those false teachers, strengthen our relationship. If we continue reading on in verses 5 through 11, it talks about learning from our past mistakes. Or in the scripture, it talks about learning from the old covenant, the things that went on, and Justin kind of hit on one this morning. But we'll go ahead and read this just for our study's purposes, starting in verse 5 in the book of Jude. "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe." And verse 6 reads, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and as the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, daring not to bring against him a reviling accusation, but he said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." And that's kind of what Justin, if you were here at 9 o'clock, he kind of hinted on that. But we have to understand that they gave all these examples. When it comes to our life, another point that I like to take from this book is, much like these people, it says to learn from the things of old. Learn from those Old Testament mistakes. Much like us in our lives, we have to ask our question, have we learned from our mistakes? Have we learned from our past sins? Or are we still living in those things? Because we see that when we do bad things usually happen. So have we learned from those things? And we read about that in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we see, although we don't follow the Old Testament anymore, we follow the New Testament, but it's good for us to go back and learn from those mistakes of those brethren in the Old Testament, much like us. Look at the past of our lives and the mistakes we made, mistakes I've made. Have I learned from them? Have I tried to grow from the mistakes that I've made, or am I still making the same ones? You know, we ought not do that. So like these verse 5 through 11 talks about, learn from our past, improve. How can we improve from the past mistakes that we've made? Are we just going to keep going around in a circle over and over and over again? You know, because if you try to do that, yeah, God will forgive you, but you can't just keep going. It's not a circle. It's like a hamster running a wheel. You know, repentance means a change, right? So there's got to be some kind of change there somewhere. So we got to look back and learn from those things that we've done in the past and not do them again. And if we continue on reading, like I talked about earlier in verses 13 through 19, you know, he warns of these false teachers and things that we should be aware of. In verse 12 through 19, it reads, and we'll go back to the book of Jude here, there are spots in your love feasts while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulling up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved for blackness and darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And let's continue on through verse 19. There are grumblings, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there will be mockers in the last time who will walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. And a lot of these people we should be aware of, and it talks about, Jesus warns about these false teachers in Matthew 7. This is something else we have to be ready for, be prepared for, stand up against. You know, a lot of these people you see the preaching and doing this, they're just doing it just to make themselves feel good. Use all these big fancy words. It's not about that. It's about, how can we change somebody's life? How can we make somebody understand that they're lost and they need to obey the gospel? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You know, I heard another quote the other day that the saved on this side of heaven should be concerned about the lost on this side of hell. And that should be our mindset when it comes to our Christian lives. Those that we think are in a good relationship, that are saved, that have been baptized, that have obeyed the gospel, we should be caring about those that are lost. It's not about all these big flashy words, big signs, all this. It's about this right here. And are we doing what this says? That's what it should be about. You know, like I said, Jesus warned us about those things in Matthew chapter 7. If you'd like to turn over there, you can. If not, I'll read it for you in verse 15 through 20. It says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So are you that good fruit? Are you that good tree? Are you bearing fruit? Are you out spreading the gospel? Are you caring for those that are lost? Because that should be our main goal. And I've often said that you want to go to heaven, take two or three with you. Take two or three with you. You want to get to heaven, don't go by yourself. There's a lot of people out here that need to hear the word. So be that good tree that produces that good fruit. So like I said, this book, it's a short lesson, but it came, and it's the points I hope we can remember from this lesson about the book of Jude. You know, always contend for the faith. Don't be ashamed of it. Be willing to stand up for it. Because like I said, the faith that we have, the things that we read in the pages of this book, one day it's not going to be faith. We're going to be able to see it. It's going to be reality. Our faith will be changed into reality. You know, we understand that we need to learn from our mistakes. Learn from those past sins, because we all have them. I have them. Everybody has them. Let's learn from those things and grow. How can we be better? How can we teach others through the mistakes that we've made and help them grow? And also, beware of those false teachers that don't care for souls. They just care for their own needs and wants. We need to be in the soul-winning business, and that's what we need to be about. So this evening, or this morning, as we enter into the invitation, you know, I hope this lesson has found you, you know, some encouragement, some maybe things to think about like it did me and when I was putting it together. But, you know, in the teenage classes, we're getting ready to offer the Lord's invitation. And like I said, it's not my invitation, even though I'm up here inviting you. It's the Lord that does the adding, not me. You know, we were reading 2 Samuel chapter 22, just as a review this morning for our Bible bow. You know, it's David's prayer of thanksgiving to God for how he helped him. You know, I thought to close us out, it'd be a good verse for us to leave on today, just to put in our minds and our hearts as we're fixing to leave this place. So if you'd like to, you can turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 22 if you'd like. We'll read two or three verses, and then we'll extend the invitation. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, 3, and we'll go down to maybe 4 and 5. And he said, David speaking, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, yes, save me from violence. I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies." So this morning, if you hadn't obeyed the gospel, I hope this lesson encourages you to do that. Encourage you to obey the gospel through hear, believe, repent, confess, being baptized, raised up a new person. Raised up a new person, continue to live that faithful life like it says in Revelation, that we may have that crown of life one day that we talked about earlier. If you need to do that, we encourage you to do so. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian that's already took those steps, this is a time for you as well. We invite you to come back. If you need prayers of the church, if you need strength, if you need help, if you need anything, if you have public sin in your life that's bringing shame upon the church, we invite you to come forward this morning. As together we stand and sing the encouragement song.